This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
49 faces looked to him in triumph. Over the last 12 months, they had each taken turns and promoted his business for a week at a time, driving over $987,342 in revenue. What if you had a network of 50 centers of influence who promoted your business every week for a year? Grab your copy of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, at 33% off the Amazon price by going to ultimatepodcastbook.com. Again, that website for 33% off the Amazon price is ultimatepodcastbook.com.
Welcome to the podcast. This is your co-host, Seth Green. Today, I've got the good fortune to be interviewing Jeff Tomlin from the Conquer Local podcast and Vendasta. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm pumped to be here.
Awesome. Let's go back in time a little bit. How'd you get started in the marketing world in the first place?
Oh, well, in the marketing world. So I was fresh out of university and I got a degree in economics. And the only thing that I knew for certain when I got out of university was that I did not want to be an economist in any shape or form. And I'm sure most people that got an economics degree thought that way, except a small percentage of them. But I had a number of small jobs outside of university in about 95, 96. A couple buddies of mine, I got together and thought that you could make some money off this internet thing that was going on. And we created resume and cover letter templates in Microsoft Word. And we zipped them up in a file and we created our first website in Microsoft Publisher. And it was a piece of shit, but it sold. I learned about how to get positioned in search engines at the time. And back then it was a day of Alta Vista and Mama and Dogpile and Excite and Lycos and Hotbot. So I learned how search engines worked and I immersed myself in writing for the web. I thought that it was fascinating how you can write short and long form copy to get to persuade people to buy. And we really treated it like a hobby back then. But we sold $250,000 of Microsoft Word documents. And that's where I got my first taste of internet marketing, and then I was hooked after that.
That is awesome. We have parallel stories. My first sales page I built around this in Dreamweaver, and it was a long form, just all Word sales letter, no graphics, with a PayPal link at the bottom because that was the only credit card processing I could get, and my personal PayPal account, and we too sold Microsoft. Our info product wasn't resumes, but it's Microsoft Word docs. So that is awesome. Fast forward us a little bit. How did you get into the world of Vendasta?
There was me and a couple of different colleagues were working at another software development company, and we had a vision of doing something on a little larger scale. And when we started Vendasta, just getting it going, we got a contract with a large company called Ritchie Brothers. It was an industrial auction company. And so they sold big, heavy equipment and farm implements at auctions. And we got a contract with them to build proprietary software. And that let us eat. And so in the first 6 months of that business, as most of the team was focused on so that we could pay ourselves and eat and feed our families. And by the way, when we started the company, there's four of us that just had brand new babies. And it was a leap of faith of monumental proportions at the time. And I think maybe because I was so young, it didn't impact me the way it does. It gives me heebie-jeebies now thinking about it at the time. But in the first 6 months, a couple of us pulled away. We put together a business plan to build our own software. And at the time, the idea wasn't what Vindasta is today. Back then, we had this idea called My Front Steps, where we would create a social platform for homeowners to find and share inspiration about their home renovation projects. And then we would create a small reputation management solution for home service providers. And we'd put the two audiences together and try to monetize referrals. And the social home network thing didn't really take off, but we saw this huge demand on the reputation management space, and we began to focus on that. One detail I skipped there was that as we built a business plan, we were able to raise $3 million of funding in the after 6 months after starting. And we didn't have any clients at the time. We didn't have any reference software that you could show people. We just had a business plan on paper. And I don't know how we raised the money. You'd never be able to do that in today's day and age. So we were incredibly fortunate. And so as we started to focus on small business software, we built what we called point solutions, or the very first solution was reputation management. And then we built social media management, local listings, and mobile optimized microsites. And the whole go-to-market evolved because at the time we didn't know how to build a massive sales force of our own. So we focused on building out a channel, or working with channel partners. And we began working with media companies. And as their traditional revenues were declining at the time, they were looking for digital solutions to sell to their customers. And it was magical and very lucky and fantastic timing. And we took off from there.
Took off is an understatement. That's an absolutely incredible story. If it isn't in a book already somewhere, it probably should be. So what have been some of the biggest lessons you've learned along the way?
Oh, I couldn't count the number of lessons. When you make mistakes, you chalk up all sorts of lessons and you try to learn from them. There's been a ton of mistakes along the way. Maybe one of the first things that we learned, as you go through different phases of growth, you have to evolve the way that you organize yourselves. And when we first started our company, there was a number of us that founded the company, and we worked together and we had our roles and worked very well together. But as you start adding people in, you create a development department, sales and marketing. But that organization has to evolve as you get larger, because there's a saying that you ship your org structure. And as you go from 25 people to 50 people to 100 people and beyond, you have to be willing to change as an organization. One of the other things that I learned along the way is you can never never underestimate how important it is to really understand your clients and grow with your clients. So number one, you have to be able to see where the market is going. So you have to be able to provide the right types of solutions at the right time for them. And you have to understand what drives growth in your relationship. So you have to understand inside out and upside down what's at the forefront of the challenges. And as we started focusing on building out a channel, one of the things that we learned is that if the channel is going to be the way that we go to market, we have to be all in the channel. You have to provide an awful lot of support to organizations where they're selling solutions that they're not building. Someone else is building it for them. You have to teach them how to provide support on how to market. You have to teach them how to sell. You have to give them tools on how to service the customers properly if they're managing all the service. And that's when we started really building out our platform, because we had to provide ways to help our clients build out bundled offerings, market them, sell them, build them, fulfill them, deliver them to their customers. And so it was one of the biggest learnings is you have to be all in on your, if you've got a very specific go-to-market strategy.
Absolutely. Those are some incredibly valuable lessons. You've built, your whole business is built on profitable partnerships. Can you talk a little bit about the evolution of that partnership strategy?
Yeah. When we first started Vindasta, it was natural for us to go and start working with the channel, because we had a background in working with large organizations that were complex beasts to navigate. So we had history working with Caterpillar. In a past life, we developed, maintained, and supported Caterpillar's used global trading system for for all of their equipment worldwide. A very complex organization to navigate. And so one of the skill sets that we have is working with partners to navigate the complexities inside of their organization and the different roles and needs of different stakeholders. And so as we started building out our platform, we focused on how we build out relationships first and foremost with our clients, and then how we build out tools to help support them along the way. And we found that if we were able to provide great end solutions to our customers, and we were able to provide them fantastic tools to support them along the way, that they'll be very long-term customers. And we took a couple of years to get to really find our footing. I think our first products were out right at the end of 2010 in this space, the way that we see them now. And I think our very first client was signed in, I think it was December, but we say January 1st, 2011. And we still have customers from that 2011 cohort that are with us today, 14 years later.
That is absolutely incredible. What do you think some of the most common mistakes agency owners are making these days?
I think some of the most common mistakes that are being made is not in investing in retaining clients. And when I say investing, I mean investing in solutions and processes to keep clients, to keep them happy, and to keep them moving forward by being that source of bringing new things to them. And one of the studies that we did some time ago is we measured the impact on churn, the number of different things had, and first and foremost was the number of solutions that were sold into a client. And there's a massive difference, almost a 50% difference in the rate of churn of customers over time when they were sold one solution and you just maintained one solution customer versus selling four solutions over time. So we measured one solution to two, to three, to four, and it went up exponentially. And we were looking at cohorts and customers that had four or more solutions that they had selling and maintaining into their customers after 3 years, and they had maintained over 75% of their customers at the three-year mark, versus when you'd only sold one customer, you were only maintaining about 20% of your customers over that time. And so you have to be that source of small businesses. They get contacted by a lot of different people for a lot of different solutions. The average business has dozens of different pieces of software that they use to manage various aspects of their business, from their marketing, the sales, the inventory management. And they want to consolidate the number of people that they work with. And if you can be a source of more than one thing to your customers, you have a much better a chance of not only being able to grow your own business with those customers, but keeping them long term and keeping them happy.
Absolutely. What inspired the Conquer Local podcast?
One of our big focuses over time was to help our channel partners sell more effectively. And the very start of the Conquer Local podcast was sales and marketing focused and helping empower the sales organizations. And so you can see it's a big focus of the podcast. And we've now had you on our podcast, and we try to bring the best and brightest minds in the world of sales and marketing to provide to our clients and our audience to help learn and navigate the ever-changing world of sales.
Awesome. Your passion is obvious. What do you like best about what you're doing?
Oh, man. You know, how it changes. Having a company like this, it's a battle. It's always changing, right? And there's ups and downs, and the good and the bad. And even when things are challenging, it's fun solving those challenges and fun trying to figure out the way forward and how you have to grow and navigate new stages of your growth as a company. We're north of 700 people now at Vendasta, and we've acquired four different brands in the past couple of years: Calendar Hero, Matchcraft, Yesware broadly. And bringing new companies into the fold is exciting, and it produces new challenges. And so figuring out that way forward and solving for that, creating repeatable systems, keeps me going and keeps me excited about what's on the horizon every single day.
Awesome. We know your time is incredibly valuable. We greatly appreciate you spending some of it with us. For our folks watching and listening who want to learn more about the Conquer Local show and Vendasta as a whole, where should we send them?
Yeah, you can go to conquerlocal.com to learn everything about the podcast. And if you want to learn a little bit more about Vendasta and our team, it's vendasta.com.
All right, this has been Seth Green with Jeff Tomlin. Jeff, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much, Seth. Pleasure being on your podcast.
Thanks to everybody for watching or listening. We'll talk to you or see you next time.
Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.